You are listening to WXRW LP Milwaukee, 104.1 FM and RiverWestRadio.com all over the world. And archives on creamcitymedia.com/anti. As ever, WXRW River West Radio needs your help. Times are tough for nonprofits, and especially so for nonprofits like us who seek to engage, educate, and activate the at-risk and the disenfranchised. If you would like to help us out, you can donate today online. You can join our Patreon campaign. You can visit us personally in the station at 824 East Center Street and purchase yourself some gear, and then please use that gear. Or if you represent a local entity of some kind, please reach out to us and become an official underwriter. You can support us, and in so doing, we will make sure that everybody knows about you and the good work that you're doing in the community. Hello again, and welcome to The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. I'm your host, NTSC. The Anti is anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, anti-hierarchy, anti-sexist, anti-racist, anti-fascist, and more. If we're against so much, what do we stand for? The ideals of freedom. In this series, we explore what a free society would look like, while recognizing that none of us today are truly free. What is a silver lining? Let's say that every cloud has a silver lining. And the saying means that there may be positives that come out of even the most negative situation. And maybe it's virtuous to look for the silver lining, so to speak. I bring up this concept to talk briefly about the Me Too movement and the Time's Up movement and the larger discussion being had finally about power, corruption, coercion, manipulation, and consent. And I should mention that this is a conversation that directly impacted people have been having for decades, and it is high time the rest of us really started having this discussion, and we are finally. And that may be a silver lining. I'd like to focus on consent, the consent part of this larger discussion in particular. I'm ever fascinated by the younger generations, my nieces and nephews especially. Their generation is the one that will be stuck with the reality, my generation and the generations of my parents and grandparents and all the way back have made for them to live in. Not every young person, but a lot of them, more so than old people, I would wager, understand consent and are trying to put it into practice. And consent can mean a lot of things to different people, but really at its core, it just means asking questions and respecting the answer that you get. And asking is really easy. Consent means not assuming you already know the answer. Consent takes into account that people can change, their opinions can change. Consent needs to be an ongoing and continuous process that we have in our interpersonal relations, because once consent is given in one circumstance, it can be taken away, and that right will always exist with the individual. And just because consent was once given, that does not imply in any way that it is permanent. My uncle used to give me noogies when I was a kid. If you don't know what a noogie is, it's when you grab someone and you hold them down kind of and you rub your knuckles on their head. I hated it. I have always had a very sensitive scalp. It kind of started desensitizing a little bit in my mid-20s, but I hated it. It hurt so much. He would grab me and he'd rub his knuckles on my head super hard, and I hated it. It hurt like hell every single time. So I would avoid him at Thanksgiving and Christmas and Labor Day and every holiday. I would try to avoid him, but inevitably he would catch me and noogie me, and I hated it. And it stopped when I got, you know, to probably be a teenager, but my uncle wasn't a demon, right? He was a loving, generous man. He just had no idea, you know, that consent was something that you could ask of a child, you know, that children had opinions, you know, or that kind of thing even mattered. He had no idea. Where is this going? Well, today's show isn't actually all about consent in that respect. And in fact, this has been kind of a very roundabout way for me to actually introduce the premise for today's show. Today's show is about you. However many episodes ago, I promised you, or I confessed to you, that the purpose of this show, my mission, was to radicalize you. Today's show is about consent, and as much as it's about asking, and about options, having options, and in some cases, sadly, not having options. I talk a lot on this program about what I want, and I've often boiled what I want down into a very simple phrase. It's kind of like a list of demands, and I never wrote them down, but I can at least try to paraphrase. One, I want us to approach problems from a stance of meeting real human needs. Two, I want us to give people the power and the ability to not just choose between limited options, but to formulate the questions which will frame their material reality. And three, I want us to make decisions based on our own questions that will maximize possibilities instead of limiting them. I mark those three criteria so I don't need to use buzzwords or ideologies or various processes, the names of which can scare people off because of decades of propaganda. And you know, I might add a fourth criteria, but I'm not sure. And that fourth criteria might be that I don't want anyone to wield power over other people, because there's such a misunderstanding among people about what power is and what personal power is and popular power. Because of that misunderstanding, I might have to leave that off the table, since the other three, in my opinion, are so good. So today's show is about you and consent and asking for help and our options. And I mentioned that one of the criteria for what I would like, how I would like our society to function, is to maximize possibilities, to maximize options. Well, we don't live there yet. We live here. We struggle here. We struggle here, and we must struggle together or perish. And I know that sounds awfully dramatic, but this really is a matter of life and death. I was talking about my nephews and my nieces earlier and how they, as a generation, have a much better concept of consent than we older generations have, I would posit. Well, the sad fact of the matter is they never consented to this grave situation in which they find themselves. They never, you know, sat down with a reasoned understanding of the reality and signed a piece of paper that said, I, or we, the youths of the world, take responsibility for saving the planet that was set upon a path of destruction long before we were ever here. They never signed up for it. But as a reality, it is theirs to deal with. Except that it is not just theirs. Let's take a brief second here to talk about the last new episode that we aired of this program. In that episode, I talked about responsibility and obligation. And upon listening to it again, and I often go back and listen to these things to see if I can correct myself or to see if I need to elaborate on something. Well, I think that the last premise of that episode may have been confusing, and in parts it may have seemed contradictory, especially in the way that I phrased it. So I want to stress, in that episode, I wanted to stress that your personal choices, your little personal choices, whether to walk or not, whether to drink through a straw or not. I wanted to stress that those choices do not make you to blame for the vast destruction that we witness in our modern era. It is not your fault. However, the final point of the episode was this: whether or not it is our fault is entirely immaterial. Sadly, it has become our responsibility to stand up and fix it, because the real criminals who caused it will never do so. We will never be able to hold them to account. And doing so may not even actually be worth it. Doing so may not actually be good for the human family and good for our shared spirit. So that's where this episode is going. Like I said, this episode is about you. And it's about me too. But I'm addressing you. I'm making it personal. I'm making it official on the radio and online globally. I need your help. I am asking for your help. And I might make some people angry, and if so, I am sorry. But we don't live in a perfect world where we get to opt out of this. Maybe that'll be the title of this week's episode, Opting Out. It is not possible to opt out of this fight. You cannot do it anymore. The last time I visited my brother and his wife, I mentioned the work I was engaged with in the Industrial Workers of the World. I mentioned that there was going to be a meeting coming up in which we were going to be organizing and discussing the various projects that we were all involved in currently, you know, to try and build popular working class power in an effort to literally save the world. And I know that that sounds very hyperbolic, and I know that that sounds very self-congratulatory, and it makes me sound like I feel very self-important, but that's the fact. Groups like the IWW and the FAU and others are engaged in the work of organizing the working class to save the planet and emancipate the human race. And are actually addressing the root causes of these issues and not poking and prodding at symptoms like so many well-intentioned nonprofits. And I put nonprofit in quotes because they're usually very profitable. So I mentioned, you know, this IWW meeting that was coming up to my brother. And he kind of shook his head and he said something like, yeah, you know, sorry, man. We're keeping our heads down and just trying to get by, you know. And I nodded and I let it go. And I'm upset with myself now for having done that. A better organizer would have taken the opportunity to ask him some questions. Some really simple questions. Like, how long do you think you'll be able to keep your head down and get by? How much longer do you think we have to keep our heads down and just get by? I may have reminded him that another recession is on the way and your house will lose value dramatically. And I may have asked, did you know that these recessions are actually built into the system? They are cyclical. You and every other little homeowner like you will suffer just like in 2008. While the bankers and financiers that continue to perpetuate this cycle will get bailed out again, and we will pay for it. The world will pay for it. How does that make you feel? And I feel a little bad now, you know, in hindsight, for just letting him off the hook so easy, because I don't like making people feel bad. I don't like guilting people. I'm extremely susceptible to guilting myself, so I don't like to do it. It's never been a habit of mine. I don't like making people feel uncomfortable. Well, this week's episode is meant to make you uncomfortable. I need you to know, and to really hear and internalize this, to understand that together and only together en masse, we can stop this system from literally destroying all life on the planet. And, you know, perhaps all life in the known universe, because so far we've only seen ourselves. And in so doing, we can liberate ourselves at the same time. I talk a lot about bravery on this show. I usually mention it in passing as we're coming towards the end of an episode. I say it will take bravery. Well, historically, there are grand examples of bravery. They abound. You know, and usually the ones at least that you hear about have come about in times of war or extreme disasters. Well, we've been living in a sort of disaster our whole lives. And it's been dressed up, you know, and it seemed pretty all right. And, you know, to be fair, obviously, Milwaukee isn't some hellscape, you know. I can enjoy certainly a lot of things. We can all certainly enjoy a lot of things. And I am very, very lucky. I will always be the first to admit how lucky I am. And you are lucky. And anybody who lives in, you know, the quote unquote first world is very, very lucky. But things are not as good as they ought to be. We ought to be able to control our own work and our own lives, but we can't. Even me. So I'm a perfect example. I'm a freelancer, right? And my brother and his wife are also great examples. Even they, who are self-made artists, and they make their whole living off of just selling their art, which is amazing. Even they do not have control, because they need to work. They need to sell, to commodify themselves and their creative labor to keep a roof over their heads. You are, whether you recognize it or not, threatened by violence every second of the day. You are threatened with privation. You are threatened with homelessness. You are threatened with sickness and death. Every second, unless you keep in line, unless you keep working, unless you keep selling yourself or renting yourself to, you know, the master class, really is what it amounts to. We are in this together, you and me, and we are running out of time. It will take bravery, yes, to fight against the systems that control our lives without our consent and to save the planet. But here's a bit of good news. We can kind of be, or we can afford to be, less and less brave. It will require less and less bravery as we get more and more people. Look at the great revolutions of the past. Across the board, impoverished working class people rose up and toppled the cruel institutions that had historically ruled them. And no one thought they could do it until they did it. And it happens again and again historically. And if you're afraid of that, and you don't necessarily want to partake in a prolonged people's revolution, well, I have even better news for you. You don't have to. I was in an email exchange with an old dear friend of mine a while ago, in which he confessed that he didn't feel, you know, qualified to help in a violent insurrection. I can't list four people that feel they're qualified to help in a violent insurrection. You know, and in his case, especially, to be fair, he's got myriad health problems, which are severe and, you know, need to be taken into account. And so I told him in that email exchange what I will tell you now. History is to be learned from and not necessarily repeated. I don't want another Russian revolution of 1917 to happen here. I don't want another people's revolution in China to happen here. I don't want another Vietnamese uprising to happen here. The circumstances are different. Our reality is different, and it's been shaped by those events, very much so. The whole world has been informed by all those events and by power's reaction to those events, very much so by that in particular. We cannot fetishize the past, but we can damn well learn from it, and we have to. It behooves us to learn from popular movements of the past. So let's do that. Our power, our popular progressive power, is not military. The military is an arm of an oppressive force. They are not our allies. Our power lies in where we work, where we keep this machine running. Our power, and do not be misled, it is a great and potent power. But our power lies in our labor and what we choose to do with it, because we keep this whole thing going. Without us, there is nothing. We create, and we recreate society. We create, and we recreate reality. We, when there are enough of us organized together, can change everything. So, to bravery, yes, we will need to be brave. But I will bolster you. You will bolster me. I will support you. You will support me. That's what mutual aid is. That's what solidarity is. An organized working class can change the world. It can save the world. We can save the world, and we must. So, to opting out, I'm really sorry. This isn't any fun to say, but you can't opt out anymore. Your labor is your power, and you need to get organized. You can't just keep your head down any longer. Look, I know you're dealing with a lot. You are suffering. Your loved ones are suffering. People whom you've known your whole life are suffering and dying. We're all getting older. Our family and friends are getting older. Our responsibilities grow daily on top of your work. And your work is hard. And it takes a toll on you. And sometimes it's all you can do to not just break out in tears in the middle of the day. And the clock doesn't have enough hours on it. And you're stretched thin. And you feel ragged and used up. And it sucks. And it's really hard. And I'm sorry. And I know that it hurts. But I can know that it hurts, and I can acknowledge that it does, and it doesn't excuse you. You are not excused. We need you. I need you. The world could be so good. Our society could be so good and equitable and green and restorative. It's not utopian to want a better world and to fight for it. I know a lot of you are doing what you can already, and I don't want you to think that I'm getting down on you or accusing you of doing nothing. I know you're not doing nothing. We talked about our personal choices earlier, and even though those choices won't save the world, yes, they are good, Walking is good. Avoiding plastic is good. Recycling, reusing, reducing, sharing is good. You are doing a good job if you lessen your personal waste and clean up. Yes, I don't want this to sound like an attack, because it's not. The whole last episode, episode number 55, was meant to say that your personal choices didn't make the world the way it is now. And equally, it is not your tiny personal consumer choices that will save it. It is your organizing. It is all of us organizing that will save and emancipate the world. So what does that look like? Well, I've provided one option in episodes past, but I will remind you of it briefly. The working class and the employing class have nothing in common. There can be no peace so long as hunger and want are found among millions of the working people, and the few who make up the employing class have all the good things of life. Between these two classes, a struggle must go on until the workers of the world organize as a class, take possession of the means of production, abolish the wage system, and live in harmony with the earth. That was just the first paragraph of the preamble to the Constitution of the Industrial Workers of the World, or the one big union of which I am a part. If you agree with that statement, I encourage you to read the whole Constitution. It's available to read online. And if you agree with it, and if you would like to get organizing with us, I highly encourage you to do so. We could use your help. Now, that is far from the only option. There are many solidarity unions worldwide. You can join any of them with which you agree. If industrial unionism isn't your flavor, you can join Earth Strike or Extinction Rebellion or 350.org. If you would prefer to organize with a group of people who are focused on mass demonstrations for climate justice, if you want to collaborate with groups who seek to build a better world using a purely scientific approach, you can organize with the Venus Project or the Zeitgeist Movement, both of which are emancipatory without even realizing it. There is a global strike happening from September 20th through to September 27th. Strike with us. My point is, there are options. The one that you no longer have is opting out. You can no longer opt out. You can't keep your head down. Keeping your head down is capitulating to failure. It's letting the worst forces of corruption and greed win. Thank you for tuning in to the 56th episode of The Anti here on WXRW River West Radio. I've been your host, NTSC, and I'll be back again next week to discuss further topics as they relate to freedom and our awesome shared potential. Past episodes can be found at creamcitymedia.com/anti, and more information about the show can be found on River West Radio. You know where to reach me. I'm here if you would like to organize with us. I look forward to talking to you again next week.